What's up, everybody? Let's try that again. I feel like I'm on a leash, man, with these wired mics. Hey, here we go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Motion Church. We're so glad that you guys are here. So last week we started a series called Appropriate, not just appropriate, but app-propriate, because how many of you guys have phones with apps or tablets with apps or, you know, just we live in a very app kind of a world that understands apps, and we operate based on that. And so the whole idea of the series is just, man, let's just make sure that what we look at, what we allow into our lives, what we dwell on, what we think about is app-appropriate. Because if it's not, then usually what we do is not appropriate. Like we talked about last week, Jesus talked about if the eye is the lamp of the body, and if you've got light that's good, then your body is healthy. Basically, if your eye is healthy, your body's healthy. But if your body or your eye is not healthy, then your body's not healthy, right? Or you also heard the expression, the eye is the window to the soul, right? So that's kind of what the whole idea is. And kind of the underlying hope for me as the pastor is that we're willing, we're brave enough, we're bold enough, we're courageous enough to make a covenant with our eyes, to not look at things that we shouldn't look at, not to be a part of things that we shouldn't look at. Because here's the deal. Let's just be honest. It's really, really easy to get caught up in some stupid stuff. Like the world that we live in, we were talking to the teenagers. Where's the teen small group? What? Man, you guys are so proud to be teenagers. That's good. And so one of the things that we were talking about on Wednesday night, and I almost feel not sorry, but you sympathize with them because they've got it harder, in my opinion, than any other generation that's ever lived as far as like keeping your eyes, you know, right and being pure and all that stuff. Because they've got access to stupidity at the touch of their fingers, right? Their fingertips on your phones and computers and all that stuff. And so anyway, the point of all of this long setup is that we just have to make sure that we try to do everything we can do to be appropriate. And I'm not going to try to do this on my own. This morning I've enlisted the help of some of the most intelligent people on the face of the planet. So where are you guys at? First, let's go Hunter first. Hunter, come on. Hunter Burney, ladies and gentlemen. Hunter Burney. Hunter, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but every time I say your first and last name, it makes me want to Bernie. You know, you get that a lot. All right, I'm going to put you right there, sir. You have your own mic. You want to grab your mic and introduce yourself? It's on, man. It's hot, 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 hot.
Good morning, everybody. Like I said, my name's Hunter. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised there. Unlike most of the people that are in that city, I cannot sing, so I try to keep it quiet, you know, on Sunday mornings. But, you know, we get a lot of that from being from Nashville. And we do not see stars very often, like, you know, country singers and stuff like that. That's a common question. So just want to go ahead and lay that out there. My wife and I, Kristen, moved here a little over 2 years ago. We spent a year in Arkansas. My job has kind of moved us a couple times. So earlier this year, found Motion, and just ecstatic to be here. So thanks for having me up here this morning.
All right, next up is my lovely wife, Shelly. Shelly, I'm going to put you right there. Yep. No, you don't get to sit where you want to sit.
Okay.
For once, I get to tell Shelly what to do. When we get home, I am in. Yes, right? So, Shelly, tell everybody who you are, what you
All
do.
All you guys need to know is I've been married to this guy for 14 years.
That says everything you need to know about how patient and kind and loving she is, right?
You are.
No, not even close. All right, next up, Dan the Man. You guys, y'all may know Daniel. Daniel picked up the moniker a few years ago, the smartest man alive. Why can't I get a title like that? Like, I mean, he's officially been referred to as this. And sneaky, too. So Daniel's the smartest man alive. You sit right here beside me, buddy. Keep tabs on him. Daniel, you want to tell everybody maybe something that they don't know about you other than anything non-weather related would be fantastic.
Is there anything else? Anything else matter?
Camping, fishing.
I like camping and fishing and hunting and biking.
Daniel owns one button-down t-shirt, or shirt, not t-shirt.
A what?
A button-down shirt.
Oh, they said a Bud White shirt. I was like, no, I don't.
Daniel does get a little buck wild from time to time. Just kidding. And last but certainly not least is Daniel's much better half, Kristen. Kristen. I want to talk about Daniel and Kristen, like, because obviously we're talking about relationships today, and they are committed to each other, but they're also committed to Motion. They have been with us from the very beginning, like before the beginning, when we were starting about or talking about starting a church, these guys have been here and been a part of Motion. So we love you guys, and we appreciate all that you do and all that you bring to the table as far as talking about relationships and whatnot. So we're going to jump right in. And this is a poll. You guys can ask questions, right? It's polling the audience. It's like I'm Regis, and you guys are polling in your questions. So to do that, you text your question to 22333. That's who you're sending the question to. And then in your message, you can ask the question, but somewhere in there, it has to have the 3038. So if you say, is Daniel the most beautiful man alive, and that's your question, make sure you include 3038. And of course, the answer to that question is yes, right? You guys clear on that? So we're going to jump right in. Go to our first question. Shelly, you didn't like that question. Huh? Oh,
Okay. Well, just so you guys know, in case you weren't here last week. Yeah. You want to recap? Nope. Okay. I don't know how to recap.
Okay. So if you weren't here last week, I think I spent quite a bit of time setting this up in the beginning, but we're talking about what's appropriate. Specifically today, we're talking about what's appropriate in relationships. Daniel and Kristen, you guys have been married for
nine and a half years.
So they've got some experience. Shelly and I, poor thing, we've been married for 14 years, and so she's put up with a lot. Hunter, you and Kristen?
We've been married 4 years.
4 years, and they have a brand-new Nino, little Sutton Montgomery. Yeah, so they've experienced a little bit of life, so I think you guys have a lot to bring to the table. So that's kind of what we're talking about today, is what's appropriate within the context of relationships. Because, like, can we just be honest? People do some really stupid things in relationships, and they think it's okay, or they don't think. I think that's the biggest issue, is that they're not.
And even if you're not in a relationship, one day you will be. And so this series is kind of setting you up for success in your future relationships.
Yeah, and it's every stage of relationships. I think you can find some common ground in this. If you're dating, if you're engaged, if you're married, we'll try to hit all ends of the spectrum. So, first question, let's go. Is it okay to live together before you get married?
No.
I mean, I'll start if you want. Can I give one disclaimer?
Yes.
That thing I said in our meeting, I don't know if you remember it. Okay. Oh, never mind. I'll move on. Okay. So, yeah. We're having a conversation. I don't know if y'all can hear it. I think the ultimate answer is no.
Why?
Now, the Bible, I'm not going to say that the Bible says thou shalt not live together before you're married. Like, that's not what it says. Obviously, we're making a judgment call on this one. But if you're living together, you're sleeping together. I mean, if you're living together, you're not going to be, like, in separate bedrooms, nor should you be, really. The whole reason you live together is so you can live together, in a sense. And therein lies the bigger issue, right? If you're not married, you should not be having sex, essentially. That is biblical. Again,
a lot of people are like, well, where's that at in the Bible? It's a legitimate question that people ask that they don't know the answer to.
Even the answer to that is somewhat inferred to a sense. I mean, often the Bible talks about God being one, right? This is one of the aspects of God, and we should mirror that. We should want to be one. And the Bible definitely talks about man and wife being one. And the act of sex is kind of what makes the oneness happen, right? And so when the Bible talks about sex, it talks about married people only, because of that very reason, because sex is obviously incredibly powerful. It's good, but the nature of it unites people. That's what it's created for. And if you're not married, you're not united yet. And none of this, look, I get that we live in a society where this is anti-cultural. It's all these sorts of things. We don't mean any of this out of condemnation or judgment. We're just speaking biblically, speaking from a typical Christian view.
I know this seems really conservative or really old school.
Yeah, it almost sounds weird to sit here and say this versus what you always hear. Like, I feel like I'm just being a prude or something. Is that a word? That sounded weird. Yeah.
Good word.
But if we're trying to follow Jesus, right, there are things we can and cannot do, or should or should not do, however you want to look at that. And until you are married, and however you want to define married, you cannot become one, because that is what marriage is the act of becoming one.
And I think because the question comes up, well, where does it say that you can't have sex before you get married? It says over and over several times, and you can find, you know, several references for this. It says, do not commit adultery, Well, adultery is simply sleeping with somebody that you're not married to. And so that's the simplest answer, I think. Good. That's a good topic.
If I can add just a little bit from a personal testimony standpoint, I think it's easy this day and age for us to justify being in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And without a doubt, you're going to say, well, you know, I've got this under control. That doesn't apply to me, or however you can kind of get around to justifying it. But just in my life, what I've seen, one of my relatives go from a thriving relationship, they move in together, and it does anything but thrive from that point. They didn't even talk about marriage once after they moved in. They had everything except a legal document. And so it was only a matter of time before it just crumbled and fell apart. And, it was just sad to watch and sad to not be able to influence that to be successful. But from a practical standpoint, I mean, that's where you end up.
Man, you can think maybe we're just being prudes or old school or whatever the case may be. But if you just look at the studies and the research of the statistics of people who cohabitate prior to marriage and people who wait to live together to get married and the difference in success rates as far as marriage goes, you don't have to argue with me. Just look at the rates and look at the statistics. So, I mean, they are what they are, right? Good question. Next question. How far is too far physically if you're not married? Daniel. I'm going to throw you the softball. You smash it, bro.
I say Houston. Don't go to Houston. But other than that, you're good to go.
Don't go to Houston, ladies and gentlemen. Don't
that
go to
too
Houston.
Too far.
Who wants this one?
Well, I'll tell you, like, when I was growing up and I was in a youth group, and our youth pastor used to say, you know, everyone's always asking me if you're in a dating relationship, how far is too far? It was Tommy Flood, and he was actually all of our youth pastor, which is kind of cool, except for you, Hunter. Sorry, because you're in Nashville. But he always said, if you wouldn't be comfortable with us putting it on the big screen, then it's probably too far. That's what he used to say. And I always kind of used that as my guideline. Like,
awkward.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be interesting. We've always jokingly but kind of seriously said, leave room for the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're getting too close. Put a Bible between you. I don't know.
Well, I know this question always comes up when we have these kind of panels. And the goal is not like to just not have sex or to be a virgin when you get married, but like the goal is purity. And I never understood that when I was growing up. I was just heard, like, don't have sex before you get married. And it was never like explain to me, well, it's because the Bible talks about being pure and stuff. And so just because maybe you haven't had sex yet doesn't even mean that you're necessarily pure. So I think you need to ask yourself, is what I'm doing pure? Instead of how far is too far? Well, I know I can't have sex, but I can do this. No, you probably shouldn't do that either. You need to ask yourself, is it right and is it pure?
That's good.
That Kristen killed it.
Nailed it.
That is, yeah, that's so good. I think we always try to push the envelope. We want to push things as far as we can. Why don't we, you know, instead of doing that, like Kristen said, focus on purity rather than where the boundary is. Next question. How much attention is too much attention for your significant other? Oh, that's a good one. Because, oh, I do need you. You know, some people are just needy. And so how much attention is too much attention for your significant other?
This is just preference on my part. I'm just saying opinion right now. I don't think you can find the answer to this one in the Bible. Maybe you can. I've never seen it. But I'll say what it shouldn't look like, and hopefully you've seen this before. Like, you've seen these couples where one of them needs the other one far too much. Like, the guy just cannot do anything on his own, or the girl cannot do anything on her own. Because the other one is too jealous or too needy or insecure or whatever. I will say that if that is going on, then there's too much attention going on. But that's a tough one because that's pretty specific. Some couples like the constant interaction, but I think that is not normal. I don't think that is the norm.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is based on each individual relationship, like, you know, how much is too much. But I think when you cross over the line into some of those, the jealousy and envy, well, then that is biblical, because then you need that person more than you need God, is what you're saying, and you've allowed some of these. We talked about this a few weeks ago in our toxic series, and one of the toxic emotions that we have is I need you. And if you need somebody to that degree, then it's not healthy, it's toxic.
I was just going to say, in VAL, Chris and I are certified to teach VAL, and something that we teach in VAL that we learned is when you hear couples say the word we, they use that pronoun over and over, we, us, that's actually not a good sign. It's good to hear we and I and me and him. Like, I can comfortably say that we don't like to shop. I can say I like to shop while he watches football. Do we still love each other? Yes, we do. Okay, but it's, and that's something, it's different. And it's okay to understand, like, to have that independence, but also realize that you are dependent on each other, you know, in at times.
It's not complete independence. No, like, that's both. The point of a relationship, right?
So, I mean, if you only hear I and you never hear we, that's also not a good sign. So you want to hear a healthy balance of I and we.
And I think Chris may have touched on this already in one of the previous weeks, but what this, if you haven't been through this, what this has the potential to do for one of the people in the relationship is to build up a resentment, right? I mean, if you feel like your time's being taken away, something that you want to be spending your time on, you're probably not going to say anything, and then over time it's going to build up a resentment. So that's something you got to guard yourself against.
Yeah, that is good. That's a good question. Good job. That was texted in too, correct? Good job, everybody. All right, next question. What does a healthy relationship look like pre-marriage?
So I'll start, and I want to talk to the guys.
Talk to them.
In Genesis, God gives Adam a job before he gives him Eve, right? That's something that, you know, a sermon that I heard recently from a pastor in Nashville where I grew up, and man, I love it. You know, he gives them responsibility and he gives them a purpose in life before he gives them Eve. And so I think that's important, you know, especially with a younger group like this. When you enter into a serious relationship, especially as you talk about marriage, you're not getting married to your wife for her to raise you. You're not getting married for your wife for her to give you your purpose. So
I told y'all we had him up here for a reason. Come on. You look like you want to add to that.
Well, I wasn't, so do you.
I'm not touching.
Okay. Kind of what all three of them just said. One, being able to do stuff on your own, not being so dependent on them, and just having your identity in yourself, because a lot of people are like, oh, I have a fiance, I'm going to get married, and your identity is wrapped up in that. But a healthy relationship is not, your identity is in you. And I think it's easy to be wrapped up in love or in getting married or your spouse or your boyfriend or whatever, but finding your identity in yourself first.
I think something that's really, really important about this, and, you know, for whatever reason, we don't talk about this enough, I think, in church, is that you need to be going the same direction spiritually. Like, you need to, which is silly that we don't talk about this more in church. Like, there's this old idea that you can find, and it's in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it talks about being equally yoked. And the concept is, it's a farming concept where they would actually yoke animals. They would bind them together with this physical, like, wooden yoke. And so if they were at different paces, even going in the same direction, if they walked at different paces, it would be, they would just go in circles. They wouldn't make any progress. They wouldn't go anywhere. And so for us, I think a relationship that's headed towards marriage, you need to make sure you go in the same direction, because you don't want to get five years into a marriage and find out, man, you're not even interested in the same things. Like, he wants to go to church and you don't, or vice versa, or God isn't really as important as you thought. You know what I'm saying? You just got to make sure that those things are taken care of up front.
If you're fighting all of the time, if you are getting together and breaking up and getting together and breaking up, that is not healthy. Do not marry that person. Let me just say that.
Because you're not going to, like, get married and get divorced and get married and get divorced. Right, okay.
That'd be expensive.
It would be expensive.
I'm probably the least romantic guy on the earth. That is true. Kristen can vouch for that. I'm sorry. I hate the idea that there is, like, this one that God has chosen for you, and that person is the one. I'm not a big believer in that, because you could believe that, and then that one could die in a car crash. And then what happened? You know, like, is that it? Are you just single forever? I think you
He's
find
so
someone.
Positive.
Right? So, I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest. Having said that, I'm being a bit ridiculous. But having said that, when you're with someone, you're choosing to be with that one. I don't think the universe has cosmically set out that you were predestined to, like, cross paths. And also, obviously, it's awesome when you cross paths with somebody that you're compatible with and you get married. And I mean that, so don't hate me, ladies. But having said that, like, when you find someone,
yeah,
like, you're choosing to be with them. Because, like I said, you're going to find stuff inevitably. If you stick with each other long enough, you're going to find something that you despise about the other person. Not even that it just irritates you, that it despises. Like, you hate that. Like, yeah, you guys like the trash being taken out. That's, like, always. And it's always going to be something little. That's the thing. You don't ever see it coming. So having said that, like, ours, like, we got in some of our biggest arguments ever about sharing a toothpaste tube. Drove me nuts, because every time I touch it, it'd be wet or, like, crumpled wrong. I'm like, and it just irritates me. So now we have separate toothpaste, and I'm happy, and life is good. But it's these little things, right? And I would say a healthy relationship, if you're taking it to the marriage level, is go to pre-marriage counseling. And if you're scared to do that, there's an issue. If you're not willing to, there's an issue. I'm not saying you have to. But do it, because they're going to bring up these little things that, like, you've just taken for granted, and they're going to start some of the biggest arguments that you're going to have had. But they're setting you up for success, because those arguments are going to be had. Like, you're going to have them one way or the other, but if you can get in front of a counselor and this kind of third party who's just kind of a jerk because they're causing these arguments in your life, but they help you solve them, right? Like, you're going to get married, and the conversation's going to come up, like, well, who's cooking tonight, right? Well, I thought you were. My mom always cooked. Why aren't you going to cook? You know, like, these things that are going to cause these big arguments. So I think a healthy pre-dating relationship is going to be seeking counsel, because you're choosing to be with the one you've chosen, if you want to be repetitive there. And if you're choosing that, then it's only fair to the other one that you seek some counsel and you do it right. So that would be my opinion.
Those are all really good answers. Good. Next question. Is it okay, this is fun, is it okay to have a best friend of the opposite sex if you're in a serious relationship or married? I mean, you know what's silly? It's silly that we even have to answer this question, but go ahead.
Cliche as it may sound, my wife is my best friend. So if I have another female best friend, where's the room for me to have that relationship with my wife?
Bo.
Shelly, I know hate you when have people been, say this.
Listen, Shelly has been chomping at the bit for this question.
I hate when people say this. I don't understand why my husband is getting so mad, because I text so-and-so all the time, and we hang out, and we go to dinner and stuff, but he's my best friend, and he was my best friend before we even got married. Then you should have married that guy. Like, that is a problem. That is a serious problem.
I mean, just think about the message that you're sending. Say you're a guy, and you have, say I'm married, say, and I have a best friend that's a female. And then, you know, Shelly and I get into a tiff, and I start texting my best friend about everything. Think about the vulnerability and all of the potential problems that you're setting yourself up for. It's just not a good situation.
But that's a real question. This happens. No, it's not okay.
So it does happen, right? I agree with you. That does leave room for the further discussion. If you are in this scenario, what do you do about it, right? Because you've got this person that is in your life that you care about. You can't dump them, essentially, from being your best friend, or should you? Well, actually, if you need to, that's what you'd have to do, because, again, you've chosen one to be one with, right? You've chosen a spouse, and you've become one. If it comes down to it, it gets ugly, and you're like, hey, I can't talk to you anymore. But that does present itself kind of a pretty ugly problem if you get that far. So if you recognize that you and or your future wife is heading that way, address it early on, because that's just going to get ugly as time goes on, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely agree. That is a good question, and for whatever reason, it's a valid question, because people ask it. As ridiculous as it is. Next question. How do you deal with trust issues when they are potentially valid? So trust issues, I think, come up all the time, and a lot of it is insecurity, and I think that's a completely different issue. If you've got insecurity issues, that's one thing. But what if there are trust issues, and maybe they suspect that, you know, there's infidelity, or, you know, just they have a reason to not be trusting? How do you deal with that?
I think maybe kind of what Daniel was just saying, in a respectful manner, confront it head on, right? I mean, you let stuff build, it's only going to get worse. You're in this together, you know, in this relationship together, so you should be able to respectfully, you know, craft a conversation to you know, bring it out and say, this is what I've got. Let's get past it.
That's good.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I was telling Jim Chapman this morning, like, Daniel and I are brutally honest with each other about everything. Like, no matter what it is, like, from the beginning, that's just how it's been. And so I think you definitely need to have that with whoever you're married to. You can't be like, well, I don't really want to tell them how I feel because it'll hurt their feelings, or I'm too scared. Like, from the beginning, you need to just be brutally honest with each other, because when stuff like this comes up, like Hunter said, you just need to confront it and just not beat around the bush. And so one, be brutally honest, and then two, seek counsel or talk to a couple that you admire or look up to that can help. I'll just recommend those things.
I think a key word here is when it's potentially valid, right? Because we've already addressed there can be insecurity for no reason or whatever. But if it's potentially valid and your spouse approaches you with it, if you get mad that they approached you with this issue, I think that is almost proof that there is an issue there. If you cannot handle your spouse asking you about whatever the trust issue may or may not be, I think you are causing the trust issue. Your spouse should have every right in the world to be able to approach you and say, look, I don't like this. Help me feel better about it. What's going on? You know, that sort of thing. If you cannot have that conversation without getting mad or offended, you are a problem. And I don't mean that mean. It's just that is the issue there.
Daniel's brutally honest. All right, good. That's a good question. Next question. How important is it to combine your spiritual lives in a relationship?
I think it's really important. I mean, Chris, we kind of talked about this in a previous question, I feel like, about being equally yoked. And so we've already touched that, I feel like. But it's extremely important. How important is it? It's very important. I can't tell you how many times people don't really talk about church till they have kids. And they're like, well, I want my kid to grow up in church. I mean, I grew up in church. And like, well, we've never gone to church. Why would we start going to church now?
We grew up in different churches, and so we should go to this kind of church. It is just, it's tension. Yeah, it's stuff that you can address.
You need to talk
prior
about
to
that before. Yeah.
Smart. That's a good question. Next question. Is it okay to talk about, this is fun. Is it okay to talk about how attractive other people are when you're in a relationship? So if, let's say you were in a relationship with A, said person, and you start talking about how attractive B, said person is that okay?
No, that's not
yeah,
okay.
I mean, if you're being deadly serious about it, no. Now, I've got to be honest right now. Me and Kristen both think Justin Timberlake is a very attractive man. I've got a man crush on him, and she's got a man crush on him. So having said that, now we don't always talk about, like, well, we should look more like Justin Timberlake or something stupid like that, you know. But so I'm more being honest on that one because I feel hypocritical if I don't say that because I do that. But I've seen it done where I disagree with it also.
Okay, because I was going to say, what if say, Kristen, and she would never do this, but let's say Kristen was like, you guys were watching something and Justin Timberlake came on and she was like, oh, my God, he's so hot.
Right, right. It's more of like an ongoing joke because obviously I'm me and that's Justin Timberlake. Like, I mean, we'd be stupid to say that I'm not more attractive than he is. Right,
right, right.
So
absolutely.
It's obviously a joke.
Absolutely.
Because the truth is, some people are just attractive. But it's how far do you take it? How much do you mean it? Yeah, if Kristen's like, dang, like that one hurts a little bit, you know? But like, if she's like, no, he's not attractive, that one hurts too, because now she's just lying to me, right? Like,
and then so every time from that point forward, she says you're attractive, you're like, yeah. You're a liar.
Yeah,
can't
exactly.
Trust you.
Yeah.
Can't be trusted.
I can't trust you.
Yeah. I think it's really important, like, it's okay to recognize. Shelley will say, oh, he's cute, like about a guy or the way they're dressed. And we think, like, I don't think anything of it. Because I think the words you use are really important. If you use words that are kind of sexual in nature, then I think you've crossed the line. If you reckon, oh, she looks very nice, or she's pretty, or he's cute, or those things are just kind of recognizing things that should be obvious to everybody, right? But if you, I think there is a line that can be crossed. And I'll never forget, man, I was having a conversation with one time. There were a couple of friends of ours who were married, and they did this. They did it, like, the wrong way. They were always talking about how he had this one particular actress that he thought was just hot, and he would say that
and
in front of his
wife. And they would
joke
about, like, oh, if she ever came to town, I would totally leave you. Like, yeah, they would say, like, things like that.
Right, as if it were a joke. And then one day, I asked her, I was like, does that bother you? And she was like, yeah, it bothers me a lot.
But she wouldn't say anything to him about it. But she would, and in fact, she would do the same thing, maybe in retaliation, I don't know. And ultimately, they ended up having marriage, like a big marriage issue. And I'm just thinking, man, that had to in some way contribute because there was a situation of infidelity. So I think just, man, stay away from it. Like, don't.
And don't compare friends. Like, I would never, like, don't ever tell your husband, like, you know, I really wish you looked more like him. And it's like a friend. Or, you know, I really wish you dressed more like him. Hey, I like him, you know, and like, and the same thing with
or
husbands.
Or did the things that he does, or, you know.
Yeah, you know, I really like the way that, you know, maybe the husband would say, I'm not like a guy, so I don't know even what you would say. But like, hey, I really like how, you know, she was dressed or whatever. I like her hair or I like whatever. I wish you would do that. Don't ever compare your friends either to, you know.
And as silly as this sounds, like even with, you know, superstars or models or actresses or whatever, it's not real. You know what I mean? Like that's the top 0.0001%. And most of that is like edited, right? So never compare reality to fantasy. And so don't, that's just a dangerous, dangerous place to be.
And I think ultimately, if you start doing the comparison sort of thing, whether it's celebrity or just friends, that's just plain old mean and not fair, right? Because again, you've chosen to be with that person. Like, you knew what you were getting into, right? Unless they're shady. But if all is going well, you knew what you were getting into. And if you knew what you were getting into, don't start like 2 years down the road, be like, well, I wish you were more like them. I'm like, well, I'm not. And you knew that. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, that's just not fair. And that's going to create some big issues.
Absolutely. That's a good one. All right, next question. Should you combine your money before you get married? Dave Ramsey, let's go.
I do not think so. Not at all. I think you should talk money for sure. I think that is definitely an area for unequal yoking to go on. Money is incredibly important.
It's the number one cause of divorce in the United States is money tension.
I mean, you're not going to work tomorrow because you love your job. You're going there and spending all your energy and time so you can make money. It's crucially important in our lives. Definitely talk about it, but no, don't share your money. I think, I don't know if this is just traditional. I'm thinking of this right now, why I feel so strong about that. I do think married or combining income should definitely be saved for marriage. Can't say why.
Because that's what Dave Ramsey says.
No. He does say that. But that is not why.
All right. Next question. What if you've already crossed the line or went too far, physically or sexually, I'm assuming? Does it matter if you continue, if you just keep doing whatever you've done? That's a really good question. I think that's a question that a lot of people ask.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's like, have you ever been accused of doing something? And then you're like, well, if you're going to accuse me, I'm going to go ahead and do it, right? And so maybe that's kind of the same mentality. Well, if I've already messed up, then there's no sense in trying to go back and fix my mistakes. And I don't think that that's healthy. Because so much of Christianity is, let's forget what's behind us and look forward to what's ahead of us. Like, we're so much more interested in where you're going than where you've been. So I think, for me, my simple answer is, don't let your past dictate your future. Just think about where you're going and who you want to be and who it is that God wants you to be as opposed to what you've done.
Along those lines, like, there's kind of a presupposition with this question going too far. You're kind of admitting it's wrong. You've done wrong there. Let's compare it to something else. Say I've stolen something before. Well, I've already done it. Does it matter if I continue? Obviously, yeah, you don't keep stealing. When it comes down to it, at the nature of this issue, sex outside of marriage is what we consider a sin. Therefore, whether or not it's affecting your relationship positively or negatively is irrelevant if you're a follower of Christ. If you're saying, yes, I want to follow Christ, then it doesn't matter that you've already done it. No, you don't continue because it's wrong. A sin, because that is not what is taught according to our faith, I would say.
That's a good way to understand it. Good analogy. Anybody else? All right, next question. There we go. What types of activities are healthy for fostering strong relationships? Counseling, right?
Going to church.
Go to church.
Every Sunday.
Pastor's wife. You go,
every
girl.
Every Sunday.
So we talked about this in our married small group, setting aside time to date the other person. You know, especially as your relationship continues, make sure you don't fall in the rut of just making it through the next day. Having something to look forward to on a weekly or, you know, biweekly, monthly basis, whatever your regular interval is, but make sure that you know, you're dating and you're not just together.
He's already married, y'all.
Can't have
in case there's anyone that's wondering. He's already married.
Hey, but that's so true because, I mean, how many times do we fail to appreciate what we experience a lot, right? So the longer you're with somebody, it's easier to get into this trap of lack of appreciation. Yeah. Oh, well, that's just them. That's who they are. I expect that from them. I was thinking about this the other day. Monday, who does so much, Monday, wave your hand. Monday does so much for the church, but he also, as just a friend, does so much for me. Every Sunday morning, I show up, and Monday has bought me a bacon burrito from Sonic. Every Sunday morning. And if you know me, like, that's the way to my heart, man. So every Sunday. So what if next Sunday I showed up and there wasn't a bacon burrito waiting on me? Do I have any right to be upset about that or mad? Because he's going out of his way to do something nice for me. And so it's kind of, I think if we fail to appreciate what people do, it's just a dangerous place to be. So dating is one of the things that helps you to appreciate. Man, because Shelly and I, we do this. We try to go every single week. We go on a date night. And it's crazy. It's like, wow, we can actually talk without, because our children, God bless their souls. But man, it's like when we try to have a conversation, the conversation always somehow or another ends up about them, right? And so I think it's just so important because then you're on the same page. You can make plans together. You can grow together. You can dream together.
So just take it one more comment about, you know, what I said earlier. The marriage small group that we're in, that's an activity, right? And within that activity, we put ourselves around a married couple who is a step or two further down the road, a mentor, as some people would call it. So Chris and Shelly are, you know, were that for us earlier this year in that small group, and continue to be just in their, you know, example, but having somebody, you know, to show you the ropes, so to speak.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Can we put that question back up? I want to see one thing. Before I answer it, I don't know if it's too late. Okay, so I'm going to say something that should not be an activity, but I do think it's a part of a strong relationship. But I think learning to fight, in a sense, is a good thing to do. And here's why I say that. It's going to happen, one. And two, I'm saying this along with kind of the brutal honesty thing. I've got a really good friend of mine like this, and it honestly, like, makes me so sad when I hear him talk about him and his wife, because they have real issues just like every married couple does, but they cannot talk about them. Like, he'll vent to me about stuff that is a huge deal, you know, between them. And I'm like, well, have you ever talked to her about it? He's like, oh, he's like, man, she gets so mad if I brought that up. And they won't talk about it, you know? And they've never learned how to, like, fight, you know, like, in a sense. I mean, that's a strong word. They've never learned how to argue, whatever. But that's incredibly valuable. Like, you've got to be able to bring up stuff that you don't like. Now, obviously, it can be done wrong. That you could go on for hours on how to do that. But I think a sign of a strong relationship is that there is room for argument in that. And there's resolution there. Because if you're not, you become like this guy. And I suspect most all of us know some couple like this, that there's such bitterness there. He's like, man, I can't talk to her about that. And he's like so angry about not even being able to bring that up to her. And that sounds incredibly exhausting and unhealthy to me. And I would never want that.
Do you have anything?
One thing I would say is, well, when we first got married, it was really hard for us. And we had, like, these married friends who had been married a little bit longer than we had, and we would always just go to their house and hang out. And that was huge for us. I remember one time specific, we were arguing about something, as we always did. And I don't even know what it was, and we're like, let's just go to our friend's house. So we went, and, like, as soon as we got there and just kind of laughed about it with them, it was, like, so much better. And I was talking to my friend John last night, and it's like all married people have the same issues. Like Daniel was saying, it's small, like taking out the trash or just these little things that really irritate you. And it's like good to be around people who understand, because it's kind of like a sigh of relief. You're like, oh, okay, it's the same. I'm not alone. You know, they feel the same way. And it's not like you're just venting about your husband, not at all. But it's like you're not alone in this whole marriage, or if you're dating, you know. We've been there and we have the same struggles. And so one activity I would strongly recommend is hanging out with other people who are married, or if you're dating, still hanging out with people who are married, because like Hunter said, you can look up to them and see, hey, what do they have to offer, teach me, to help me in my relationship.
That's good. I think I want to just close with this one activity to avoid. Stop talking crap about your spouse or your significant other to everybody and their mama. Because my gosh, man, I heard a teaching one time, kind of hearing sermons that form the way you think. I heard a sermon one time, and it was about the way that wives talk to and about their husbands. And it was Pastor Stephen Furtick, one of the greatest preachers in the world. He said, inside of every man is a prince and a punk. And the one that you speak to is the one that's going to come out. And so I think, man, the way that we talk to each other and how we talk about each other to other people, man, it forms and shapes our relationships in so many ways. So an activity to avoid is don't run around to all your girlfriends or your guy friends and talk smack about your significant other. Man, it's just not healthy, because then the more you talk about it, you start to believe all of the things that you've been saying, and it gets worse, it perpetuates. That's not a healthy activity. You know, if you've got an issue, talk to them. There's a novel idea, right? Good. Hey, I think this is fantastic. Thank you guys so much, everybody, for joining us on the panel today. Yeah. Two more questions? All right, quick. We got to go quick. What is the best way to say no to a toxic person? Ooh. See, I like the way they use, like, previous series. You guys are good.
It's so, like this. You put your tongue at the top.
Everybody do this.
No.
Put your tongue on the roof of your mouth. No.
No.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that is a legitimate question. Crazy can't be helped. Let me just, if they're crazy, you can't help them. And so stop thinking you're Jesus or you're Superman and you can save everybody or help everybody. Crazy can't be helped. So it's okay to just avoid them if you have to. Avoid them like the plague if you have to.
I haven't been in a situation, but if I think that I was at a point where I wouldn't be able to influence, you know, their thinking or behavior, I'd probably, first reaction would be to pull somebody in who I think would probably be a little more outspoken and be a little more blunt with them and maybe unbiased about the situation and speak up for me. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
I think the art of saying no has been lost in our current generation. No one will say no to anything, and that is incredibly unhealthy. Assuming, because we're talking about relationships, and the toxic person here, I'm assuming, would be the other person in the relationship, which is often the case. Hopefully, if you're dating, if you're married, it's even tougher. But assuming you're just dating and you had a bad relationship, things went south pretty quick, and you want to get away from them, and they keep coming along, I don't think the best way to say no, I don't think that's the issue. If the person's toxic, you don't have to worry about being politically correct or kind or whatever. If they're toxic, you tell them no. I don't think the best way to say it is the issue. I think the issue is, will you or will you not say no? And then stop answering the phone calls and replying to texts and whatever.
That's huge, because I think a lot of times we're like, oh, we're sick and tired of this person bothering me, but you keep responding to their text messages. And you know what you do when you feed a stray puppy? The puppy keeps coming back. You give them a reason to come back, so stop feeding the puppy.
And here's the thing. If they're really crazy, even when you tell them no, they think you said yes. And they will still hang around thinking you're saying yes. So you just be prepared to say no multiple times.
That's good. All right, last question. If you have sex, can you go back to living a pure life in your next relationship and follow what God wants, or is it too late? I think we kind of hit on this, but I think maybe just a different
spin. It's never too late. It's never too late for forgiveness. It's never too late to start over. It's never too late to have a pure life. I mean, ever. It's never too late.
Because purity is so much less physical than it is spiritual. And we don't think of it like that, because I think a lot of times if you grow up in church and you've grown up in youth groups, we always equate purity with sex. And if you're pure, you'll wait to have sex till you get married. And purity is so much more that you can be a virgin and be as dirty as possible. You can watch pornography and have filthy thoughts and all of that stuff. So purity is not, it's not just sex. I think if you want to restore purity, then you start, you know, thinking right, and it's so much more spiritual than it is physical. So you can absolutely go back. And your next relationship, in fact, can be stronger. Because this is what happens. You can either use your experiences as a reason to continue that lifestyle and that habit, or you can use them as fuel to be the better person that you know that God wants you to be. And there are so many different ways you can talk about that. So you don't have to, you're dictated, your past does not dictate your future.
And I think that actually shows that you're stronger than someone who's never even been there and done that. Like someone that's been there and done that and then chooses to put aside all of those feelings and emotions, I think that's really cool.
That's really good.
And if you are that person, like, don't beat yourself up about it either. I mean, it was a big mistake because you're feeling some big results of that. But at the end of the day, it was a mistake, plain and simple. And absolutely, you can be pure, like they've said. I mean, that's just a lifestyle and a mindset. Like, just because you screwed up once, that doesn't define who you are by any means. And like they said, I think it can make you better.
Absolutely. All really, really good questions today. Let me pray for us and then we'll dismiss. Father, we love you. God, thank you so much for this time that we've had to be together, God, this time to talk about some issues, some stuff that, God, that we're just, if we're all honest, they're questions that maybe we have or questions that need to be answered. So, God, I pray that you would help us as we leave this place, God, to take these ideas and this wisdom, God, that's been conveyed through this panel, Father, and apply it to our lives. If we're one of the people that have asked some of these questions, God, that we won't get offended or we won't be discouraged by the things that we heard, God, but we'll be encouraged to go and do the right thing and become the people that it is that you want us to become, God. We want to be hearers of your word and doers, God. We want to do what it is that you want us to do. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen.